We're getting back into it. I'm not quite ready though. Okay. We are recording though, which is which is important.
Well, then that's good to know because I was about to bring something up and I'm not gonna bring it up.
You know I can edit these things.
I know,
right?
Yeah, I know you can, but
oh, and with that in mind, let's see how we do.
Oh,
welcome aboard the Funny Boat Podcast. I was way too early on that one, but we're doing this more live than I normally do,
right? Yeah,
which is why there's no video because I can't. I can't handle all of these things.
You can't handle the truth.
No, I cannot. I can drive a boat and flip people off, and that's mm-hmm. about it.
That's, at the same time?
Oh, at the same time. Nice. I'm very talented.
Sweet.
But I can't possibly manage to hit record on cameras.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
And run a soundboard. And later in this episode, we're going to be listening to your voicemails, you maniacs.
For those brave souls that called in to the Funny Boat Hotline. It's Casey Kasem.
Oh, God. You are not Casey Kasem. No offense.
Oinks, oinks.
But we've got some exciting actual floating stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
Right? So the season is ramping up hardcore, or it has ramped up for me. I must have worked 20 out of 30 days in April alone, which is bonkers. So the weather was just perfect. All the boats were super exciting and very fast. Yeah. So every job was done in the same day. But then I would wake up and do it all again. So I was having a bit of a like groundhog day time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to remember to film things so I could make content about it. And I just totally lost track of what I was filming and why. I made a video about pantograph doors because that's a thing on boats.
Oh.
As in, like, you know, you turn the wheel and then you shove the door open and it moves on these hinges that are very like aggressive, and they elevate the whole door and move it in such a way that it feels
like automated, or like
not quite automated. It feels like you're on a submarine or something.
Well, oddly enough, that's the visual I was getting. The wheel
and
then
the pushy,
spin it and
the,
coming through and running, you know.
So, and then I looked at the video and I was like, this is boring. I'm just describing what a pantograph door is, which I just did. And you sat through it in just audio version.
Strap in, folks. Strap in.
Which is even more boring.
Hold on to your hats.
God, I'm so sorry, but we are back. We're back in the wheelhouse and doing our best. And you have a very exciting trip coming up.
Yeah. I was thinking when you were saying you did a lot of days in April on boats working, I also spent a lot of days in April on boats.
Okay. Yeah. So your next adventure is coming up and I'm very excited about it for you.
Yeah. In just a few days.
So you're heading to New Zealand.
New Zealand.
You're going to fly for 24 plus hours.
A lot more time than I'm going to sail. It feels like it.
You're going to fly for 24 hours to get to a weird island nation that's very proud of itself for its sailing culture.
Absolutely. You know, depending who you talk to, that's Polynesian, but South Polynesian, like ultra South Polynesian. Like there's a lot of debate where
I feel like we're going to get real close to things that we're going to get in trouble for. Yeah. Let's skip all of that.
The Maori. The Maori.
We're going to get phone calls about you pronouncing it wrong.
Well, I won't be able to listen to said.
Oh, that's true. So it's going to be gone for a couple of weeks because you are helping some interesting characters take their boat from New Zealand to Fiji.
To Fiji. Absolutely. Bucket list opportunity here for me, and I'm tickled to death. So I did two different sailing festivals in April. One was the Odyssey Sailing Festival, which if you go back quite a few episodes. We interviewed Andy Hesketh with the Ocean Cruiser podcast, and he's the organizer of that. I was in Greece last year and did that with him, and this year was BVI. I was on the boat with Erica and Warren Cook, and they have the sailing channel We Sail. And
Erica and Warren, I get it. Warren and Erica.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. We Sail.
Yeah, that took me a while. you're much quicker on the uptake than Andy and I.
Perfect.
But anyway, yeah. So unfortunately, Erica is not able to make the trek to New Zealand. They're based out of the Colorado area, and so Warren called me up and was like, "Bro, I need an extra hand. I need open water experience. Are you able to do it?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Oh, dang.
Yeah, let me check some things off. But so I fly out on just a couple days. And
aren't you worried people will die without the ability to buy boats from you?
The lucky ones already have.
The rest you're just going to let perish. I see how it is.
I mean, but if I'm going to go down, what a way. What a way to go.
No, I'm not worried
about
you.
I'm a broker of the people.
I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about
all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll probably be their albatross that they're going to throw over to appease Neptune and Poseidon and all the gang.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, anybody else prepping a trip like this, they tend to call me and ask me questions like, what do I pack?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to prep for?
Mm-hmm.
Where does the weather come from so that I can plan for it?
Yeah.
And
good questions.
What spares do I need to have on board? These are like smart questions.
Sure.
You haven't asked me any of those.
I have not asked any of those questions. Well, I'm taking said spares with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did
That's
get the
good.
Phone
That's
call.
Good.
Hey, I can't get a hold of these. Can you bring those? Yep. And our friends, what we call the Reds, I'm actually taking spares to New Zealand for them because they will end up there in a couple of months.
So you're meeting up with another set of YouTubers?
I won't meet them, but I'm their delivery person.
So you're a mule?
Yeah. Basically, the ATF and the DEA and all those, please don't listen to this episode. That's not the mule she speaks of. These are not the droids you're looking for. Thanks.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So you're bringing spares for this trip.
Yep.
And I assume you're packing some serious foul weather gear.
So it's winter there.
Yeah.
And we're going to end up in Fiji. So we're literally starting out in winter fallies, and we'll end up in board shorts and a tank top, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Unless Fiji really lets me down. And Fiji, if you're listening, don't let me down.
All right. We need to talk about Fiji some more because there's also the issue that I know from other cruisers. And the thing that I always tell them is, hey, if you're going to be making that kind of transit, you have to be aware that the Fijian government is going to take their sweet time letting you actually enter the country.
And that was one of the stipulations of this trip was like, hey, we can't tell you when we're leaving and we can't tell you when you're getting home. So as my last Funny Boat podcast, potentially. we're figuring 3 weeks. That gives us time for a weather window to leave. The week plus transit should be like 8 days. And then, depending when we get into Fiji and how island time works, when they actually clear us in and then we get a flight out. So mid-June. I should be back mid-June-ish.
I like that. That's fair. That's a reasonable time frame. So... Yeah. I guess it's got to be really hard for somebody like We Sail to find folks that are available for something like this.
Yeah.
I know that there's things out there on the internet for people to find crew. There's Crew Finder websites.
Crew Finder, the See People app is a fantastic forum for people that are looking for help to help get their boat from point A to point B.
I've seen some listings on SeaFinder. What, not listings, postings. I guess that's the word I'm looking for people asking for crew to make passages. And I like that. I'm into that. I think it speaks to the fact that if you don't have a boat and you want to get some experience mm-hmm. out there, you can find it.
It's definitely, there's lots of different avenues to get time on boats. You've got to have the right attitude going into it. And
what do you think is the right attitude?
Well, the worst thing you can do is sail against the schedule.
Oh.
And, you know, especially in a small sailboat.
Yeah.
My merchant experience was a whole nother, it's the complete opposite of that. We are totally sailing to a schedule.
You better get there on time. Or people are losing millions of dollars.
Your longshoremen are charging us extra.
And you're worth about $100K at best.
Yes. But on smaller boats like that, especially a passage of this length, which is 12 to 1,300 miles, you don't sail against the schedule. So Warren was very clear in my acceptance of said mission. He's like, man, we might sit here for a while. You need to know that I can't guarantee you when you're getting home. So if you're okay with that, then welcome aboard. And, that's been a big thing for me, you know, personally, is just trying to get into that sailing mentality of, you know, the weather dictates what's right. And you got to say yes when you need to say yes.
Well, here's what I'm picturing. Is anytime I do a passage on sailboats, you're 100% right. You're just going to be a victim of time. And once you get on board and those first 2 days go by day three, you start talking slower.
Yeah.
You start counting time based on meals, not mm-hmm. based on actual minutes and hours.
Right. Sunrise, sunset.
Eventually.
How many sunsets are in my phone? Okay. That's 4 days in. Okay. Awesome.
But it really is the part where I once recorded a video of myself on a sailing trip and I realized how much slower I was talking.
Oh, yeah.
It freaked me out when I saw it later and I've never posted it. It just scared me too much. Because generally I speak very fast. I'm very, let's go. Why aren't we doing this? Let's go. But on this sailing passage, which was like, it was only a 4 day passage. But by day three, I was talking.
You were just getting into
so
the groove too.
Slow.
Yeah. I tell you, I'm happiest when I'm at sea. And it sounds very hokey, but really am. Like, it's just something about it, knowing that you're kind of just a small little speck and you're at the will of a lot of different things, you know.
So for me, it's that you literally cannot have an impact on anything mm-hmm. other than what you're currently doing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen in almost any other aspect of modern life, partly because we've got cell phones. And yes, I am going to be that crotchety old salt who says, these social medias and phones are killing us and rah. But I love them because it brings you to me. Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Love you. Mwah, smooches.
I feel like we're that skit on SNL. Hi, welcome. Hey, how you doing? Sherry O'Terry and Will Ferrell.
Hi. Love you.
Hot mic.
So now but you can't. You literally can't. And it's one of those things where now you kind of meet the real person.
Yeah.
Because if all they can do is worry about this one thing, which is manning and operating a boat and maybe making you a snack here and there, mm-hmm. now you get to meet who they really are when they are 100% task focused and relaxed.
Yeah.
And
hopefully relaxed.
Well, yes, because boating should be boring. Boat delivery should be boring.
If everything's going perfect, it should be the most boring thing you're doing.
It should be super boring.
If it's exciting, shit's getting real.
Well, okay. This brings me to the exciting things that could possibly happen.
Right.
So, weather is the only thing you've got to worry about. Do you know, do you have a weather routing service? Do you know, or are you trusting?
I honestly have no idea what Warren has set up. This is not a new passage for them. They've got lots of open water experience. Weather is something that we discussed while we were on the trip in the BVI, just in general. And I took several years of weather when I was in college doing what I did and being at, you know, all over the Pacific anyway. So, and for the amount that we're doing, you can be fairly consistent within a 10-day span, and should be under that.
Mm.
So I'm not terribly concerned about the weather, but I definitely am respecting the weather that I'm expecting. That makes
it does
sense.
If I was setting off from New Zealand this time of year, yeah, you can have some decent consistency.
Yeah,
with the weather reports.
Yeah.
If you trust your window, you can absolutely get the job done. 10 days is not an unreasonable amount of time to trust a weather forecast, particularly a marine weather forecast, except there's, you know.
Yeah, there's always an exception.
There's exceptions. My worry is it just the two of you?
No. So,
oh, good.
There'll be six of us on board.
Oh, good.
So there's... from what I understand, two other couples and myself and Warren will be the bromance of the boat.
Smooches.
Because Erica's not able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So one, this is like, you know, New Zealand to Fiji. Never in a million years did I ever think I'd be A, in New Zealand, B, taking someone else's boat to Fiji. Which a couple of the channels that I'm friends with, they're like, so is the plan just to sail everybody else's boat all over the place? A great plan. I love that idea.
That's what I do.
Yeah, right? Sure. I've got so many miles under the keel, and I've never, ever been south of the equator, not by plane, train, automobile, or boat.
Oh my God, neither have I.
Yeah.
I never thought about it.
I've been close. I've been in Singapore by boat, which is, what,
it's
6 degrees.
Close. Yeah.
So, what, 360 miles,
oh,
theoretically.
Oh my God.
But I've never seen the toilet water flow the other way. And I am so stoked about that. Like,
wow.
I'm going to flush every toilet.
I didn't even think about that.
Coriolis in action.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if that'll mess with your... I wonder if that messes with your ability to predict the weather, because Coriolis is going to impact cycloning,
right?
Yeah, right?
So
one
of my favorite weather laws is Bayes-Ballots law, which, you know, you stick out your left hand, you look behind your left hand, that's the center of the front, and it's going to go this way, and you know. So that's totally like...
That's out the window. Yes,
I'm going to be like, is it my right hand? Or do I look forward of my left hand and then it goes the other way? Like, I have no idea what law I shall... Murphy, I think, is the law.
Are you going to get the tattoo?
Oh, when I hit Fiji, my plan is... And folks, I am a blank canvas.
Oh, my goodness.
I have tons of boards on Pinterest.
I don't think anybody wanted to know this.
But Fiji, if I can find a guy dumb enough to tappy tap some ink into me.
No way. You're going to do a tappy tap tattoo?
I would love to go old school tappy tap Fiji. Yes.
All right. I'm not sure who's listening to this, but sailors and tattoos are a big deal. And tattoos supposedly originated from these South Pacific islands where they literally use a little hammer and a very spiky tool to push the ink and dye into your skin.
And the word tattoo, I think I just read it, was like, it means to tap.
To tap in. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. That's very cool. And I'm so jealous because you don't, you're not normally this cool. So
no, I'm now. I'm the antithesis of cool.
Ed, stop being cooler than I am. This isn't fair. I don't know how
I can't help it.
How am I going to maintain my cred if you're cooler than I am? This isn't okay. I object.
It's perfectly fine. I love it.
Now, I really like the idea of this trip because it's not so much open water that if you're in trouble, there's a lot of vessel traffic in that area. Yep. There's a lot of tiny little atolls and funny little places you can stop along the way. In fact, I think the longest stretch that you go without truly with that would really freak me out is maybe, I think you're like 400 miles.
Yeah, probably.
That sounds
so
right. Yeah. So the rest of it, though, has some of the most interesting boating land that I can think of. And one of them in particular is, we were talking about this earlier.
Oh, yeah, Minerva's Reef.
Minerva's Reef.
Yeah, this is weird.
That's magical. I'm sorry. I know you were poo-pooing it because it's really not worth stopping at because you can't see anything.
You can't see a damn thing. Like, so Minerva's Reef is 3/4 of the way-ish between Auckland and Fiji. And it's a volcanic rim, basically just under the surface of the ocean. But when you think of an atoll, well, an atoll by definition is above the waterline. This is a reef below the waterline that is an atoll. Like there's one entrance in and you can anchor in it. But when you look out, it looks like, you know, some videos I saw online, it's like 4 or 5 boats anchored in the middle of like the complete ocean. Like there's not a wave crashing. You're just like, hey, we're just anchored out here. Like it's a mind thing for me. Like that's not,
it's a brain hurt.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, more so than going from sailing in the Chesapeake than going to New England when you're like, oh yeah, we can get within 12 feet of that rock and we're totally fine. Yeah, and Chesapeake is like 300 yards of 1 foot water. But it's nice and soft and won't really hurt.
It'll hurt a little.
It'll hurt your pride more than anything.
The emotions of it.
But yeah, this reef, I'm like, so that was, we may, if we have the right window of leaving and the right time and speed, we may stop at Minerva's Reef if everybody decides that's the thing we want to do. I mean, yeah, it checks a box. But I'd rather spend time with the Tappy Tap guy in Fiji and play some ukulele there and do that whole thing. But the other thing about sailing with the crew is the crew dictates what's going on. And I'm for the journey.
And you're one of six.
I'm one of six. So my portion.
And you only know.
My portion is very small.
Okay. Who do you know? Who can
you
influence?
And I know Warren.
Okay.
Yeah, Warren and I. Warren's my spirit animal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
War dog.
War dog, as I called him on the BVI trip.
Oh, I don't think we've even talked about the BVI trip yet.
Yeah, did we? Did
no, we?
We
totally haven't. By the way,
because we were ships in the night.
Yeah.
Stickers on the post.
That's a much more accurate description. So I went to the British Virgin Islands with my family for a family vacation at the end of March, which went into April.
Right.
And we had a fabulous time on a beautiful catamaran, and
good
we did the circuit. We had too much wind the whole time.
Yeah, we did.
Way
too,
much wind. It was
awesome.
Sort of surprising. It was like getting the Christmas winds in, you know, the
global warming.
Shut up. How dare you? We were getting the Christmas winds in Easter, which is like the worst Easter money present ever. I was really not a fan.
Yeah, we had like steady 23 to 27.
Okay, so you had it too.
Yeah.
Dang. All right, I don't feel bad. I was having a lovely family vacation with my little niece, and it was very pleasant and polite, and we had our friends on another boat who had their, you know, children ages 5 to 10.
Oh, nice.
So it was very Sesame Street is the word I'm going to use.
Yeah. We had that same mentality. It's not so different in that regard.
Okay. Yeah. So you came, though, on a trip that was advertised through the Odyssey Sailing Adventure Excursion.
Festival. Oh, yeah.
The Odyssey Sailing Festival. So this is run by the most wild British man with a boat.
Yeah. I love him.
Andy is a phenomenon, and I really did adore having him on the podcast when we did. He's so who I want as a camp counselor.
Yeah.
For adults.
Right. Oh, he's a horrible camp counselor for adults. If you're looking to be an adult.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's why I said camp counselor. Yeah.
But you will have a good time, guaranteed. And oh my God, did we have a good time? So shooey. Oh my gosh.
So,
I ended up getting there a couple days early.
Okay.
With the idea that I would help him set up. Well, the schedule he gave me on his arrival and departure was totally screwed up from the actuality of his arrival and departure. So I ran around for 2 days just buying alcohol for the captains, welcoming the captains aboard because he was a day late and blah, blah, blah. And oh, it was such a good time, though. Oh, such a good time. We did all the things, you know, the Cooper's Island, kind of like a ritzy brewery pubby thing there. And then I think we did Norman Island, Anagata. This is not in order, but Soggy Dollar Bar. We ended the cruise at Willie T's and did the whole Willie T's thing.
So he's naming beautiful places in the British Virgin Islands that are very normal stops if you're going to do a charter.
No. Yeah.
Now, 9 times out of 10, most people doing the charter, they're going to do it clockwise.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're going to do it counterclockwise. I'm so sorry.
I have no idea. I didn't look.
Oh, God.
Like, where are we at?
Most folks are going to do the British Virgin Islands counterclockwise in whatever version that means. And you are going to hit the... and the reason for that is because you want to spend as little time going upwind as you possibly can. So the longest downwind stretch you can avoid or you can achieve and
like
not go
day.
Upwind by going counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Counterclockwise gets it done really well.
All right. That makes sense. Well, thank you. I didn't realize why we were doing what we did.
You are welcome.
Hmm.
That being said, I'll tell you right now that we tried to plan like a kid's pirate adventure.
Ooh, I like it already.
And my very best friend in the world.
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, but not there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the officiant at my wedding was running the other boat, and he had this whole setup with a treasure chest and everything. And we get to Jos van Dyke, and there's a beautiful little island near there. And he's leaving clues at the bubbly pool for the kids to find and all that good stuff. And the kids have to go dig up a treasure chest. Little did we know, though, that my husband was supposed to go bury the treasure chest.
Oh.
This means my husband has to take a dinghy like 2 nautical miles in 20 knot winds.
He is who I would pick, though.
He is who I would pick, too.
Well, like, who can get this done? Oh, yeah. Bear
and,
got it.
So he's, I'm watching him launch off of these waves and come crashing down, and then I lose sight of him for a while. I've literally got the binoculars out. I made him take my...
Do you have your like Garmin?
I had a personal emergency beacon, and I made him take it with him. And I was so afraid for him. And then, sure enough, he makes it onto the island, and he buries the treasure. And then later that morning, after everyone's had pancakes and leftover birthday cake or whatever it was that we did, and my husband is like sleeping in a scupper, it's time to go and try to pick up a mooring in front of this desert island. Ooh. And let the kids go figure out where this hidden treasure is.
Right.
And all the kids pile into the dinghy and they start heading towards shore, and they take one wave over the bow.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
And now the kids are screaming. And they take another wave over the bow, and more of the kids are screaming. But one of the kids stands up and says, "This is how treasure hunting is."
Yeah.
And they all make it to shore, and sure enough, they dig up the treasure. Right. And my friend has packed this this really cute little treasure chest with little, you know, chocolate doubloons and it's just adorable.
Nice.
And not at all the booze filled fest that I imagine you were on.
Yeah, air booty was a little bit different on said trip. We hit every iconic BVI charter bar you can possibly think of. We were in Joost Van Dyke and went to Foxy's Taboo Bar, which is the small one.
Mm-hmm. Just before the bubbly pool.
Yeah, which you're very lucky, by the way.
I'm listening.
Because I ran out of my stickers.
Oh, did you spot my stickers at the bubbly pool?
I spotted your sticker at Foxy's Taboo Bar, and I was like... went for, and I didn't, all I had was the funny boat sticker.
So I saw at least 3 of your stickers.
Oh, I was stickering the hell out of anything didn't move.
Okay. I saw 3 of your stickers while we were circling. I saw a handful of my own stickers had been placed years before.
Oh, that was my first time to the BVI.
What? How is that possible?
I don't know, but it was.
Oh, because it wasn't commercial.
It wasn't commercial, yeah.
Oh, it's not
a whole lot of container
stop.
Ships and super tankers from Valdez rolling through to BVI.
That's fair. So that's like my, I want to go 8th BVI trip, maybe 9th.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I've been there quite a few times. And it's always fabulous. It's such great cruising grounds. It's the easiest cruising grounds in the world.
It seemed pretty...
It's 2 hours
it's set up for every place. I mean, yeah.
And once you get there, there's a bar, there is a restaurant, there is great mooring.
Everybody's
holdings.
Great. Everybody was great. Everybody. Especially Debra at Peg Leg's Bar. At 90K Marina, Debra, if you're listening, which you're not.
Which she's definitely not.
But my goodness, Debra, we had a good time.
I'm so glad you enjoyed Debra.
The best bartender.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean,
the
not
one that
really.
You could remember?
She was yelling at me the whole time, but I ordered number one a Corona. No, you want a Carib. No, I want a Corona. You're getting a Carib. Okay, great. Can I get a lime with that? No. 2 reasons why. Why can I not get a lime with my Carib? Because I'm pretty sure this is the BVI version of a Corona. And I was not wrong. Number one, you cannot get a lime because Carib is so good. You don't need a lime.
There you go.
And number two, we don't have any limes.
I love Deborah.
Which is why every time I saw Deborah, she got a shot of whatever she wanted.
Love Deborah. Oh my God.
Oh, it was such a, every part of that trip was just fantastic. And a lot of it, like we alluded to before, had to do with the attitude going into the trip of just, hey, I'm saying yes, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm taking me out of it and letting the trip dictate what goes on.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And I do know people that hate these sailing trips in the BVI because one, boating is camping,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't ready
yeah,
for that.
Little,
they were
a little bit of glamping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, even with your cabin that has air conditioning mm-hmm. and your own private head, it's still small. Mm-hmm. It's still yeah. not a full-on hotel room.
Yeah.
It never will be. So you've got people who are not ready for the camping
yeah.
aspect. Then, yeah, unless you're chartering something that's over 100 feet, any kind of weather or rocking and rolling, you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a fiberglass hull, you're going to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then each of the bars are going to be covered in sand. And
yeah, that's awesome.
I love that part. I love that part. But
I didn't wear shoes until I got to the airport.
I love that. Oh God, that's
the rock hall and me coming out.
Yeah, yeah. We all know you're from a weird backwater. So there's this camping aspect to it. There's this
sure.
feral aspect mm-hmm. to it. And if that is not your thing, you're not going to enjoy
yeah.
a BVI trip. But if you are willing to give yourself over to that, then you might. And the same is true for any major sailing passage. You're right. You have to give yourself to it.
Yeah.
And be ready to just be an animal who exists only for the boat.
Yeah. Well, and I doubled down on that because immediately after the Odyssey Sailing Festival, there's another festival. This was the second annual festival called the Chasing Bubbles
Adorable.
Festival.
I love the name.
And the Bubbles was the name of the boat. And it was about this gentleman who sold it all, got a boat, went and sailed. Unfortunately, he passed away, not from sailing, but from health issues. And this foundation was started in his honor to make sailing achievable to those that may not normally have it in their periphery.
Hmm.
So this was a bunch of cruisers that got together and kind of celebrated the fact that this guy did that thing. And Erica was the, I guess you would call her the Commodore? Were the celebrity Commodore of the whole flotilla. Andy went with me. So it was me.
I'm going to call her the czar.
Yeah, czar. Oh, sailing czar. So Erica was the sailing czar. Andy was with us. Myself. Sylvia was the chef on Lauren Lander's boat. She stayed with us. And there was another chef, Ellie. I'm not sure whose boat she was on for the sailing festival. And then we were on Chase Lamack's boat from Below Deck. And
oh, my God. He's so cute.
He's the one that has Sailing
Don't
Grace channel.
That.
He's got the little puppy at the boat shows. He's had him in the backpack. Charlie. But, oh, my gosh, Chase and I just clicked immediately. We were bros from before the whole sailing festival started, and we just had a fantastic time. Sylvia ended up staying with him for like a month. I think she just got off his boat, like literally just got off his boat. They ended up sailing to Dominica, Puerto Rico, the Bahamas. And now I think I did talk to Chase the other day. He's now back in Charleston, South Carolina.
You know a lot of sailing celebrities. This is annoying.
I know, right? It's crazy. The beard attracts all.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah.
So, we had such a great time. That Chasing Bubbles. So the first night of the Bubbles thing, we had an 18-boat flotilla with a full-on soundboard, speakers, lights, rave. that apparently went on to 6 a.m.
Whoa.
I checked out at 2 a.m.
Good for you.
But yeah. And it was, we hit a lot of the same spots that we did. That festival was as impactful as the first one because I had zero expectations for my last 5 days in the BVI.
Oh, interesting.
None. I just knew that Andy and I were going to hang out. And other than that, we did not have anything slated. We were possibly going to be hanging out at some place on St. Thomas, or we were just going to stay in Tortola or whatever. And so staying in Tortola ended up not being the thing that we did. We got on Chase's boat and off we went. And it was like 3 days, and it was very cool with that sailing schedule ideal, because each day it seemed like we lost, not that we lost somebody. We didn't lose anybody officially.
officially, you didn't lose anybody.
No Coast Guard paperwork was filed as far as losing people, but
that's different.
After the first overnight, Ellie left. After the second overnight, somebody else left. After the third overnight, I think I left. Then Andy left. Then Erica and Chase and Sylvia kind of finished up the whole festival. It kind of really locked in that whole cruising lifestyle for me. Like, it was amazing. Like, I dinghied. We stayed at Scrub Island, and Andy dinghied me to the airport, which, like, think about it.
That's beautiful.
It doesn't sound that big of a deal. Yeah, okay, got to the airport by boat. But think about it, folks. How many of you have never driven into an airport by an automobile ever? He dropped me off. We bro hugged up. Hey, mate, I hope you have a good time. I had a blast. Can't wait to catch you. See you in Greece. Off I went. And of course, he was trying to put me at the closest restaurant dock to the marina, and instead he went the opposite direction.
Oh, whoops.
So I had to walk a whole I had to walk 300 yards instead of 100 yards into the airport. Still amazing. And it was just like everything was just so laid back. It was still an airport. You still walked in, but it was like I got sand on my feet still in flip-flops. Beads in my braid, in my beard.
No, I do like that braid in your beard. It's cute.
That has its own story.
Oh, I don't want to hear it. I'm sure it's pervy. No, it's not.
But we did.
You're a liar.
We did a rum tour at 10 a.m.
So it's definitely pervy.
So that was amazing.
And you were tricked by some woman.
Yes,
I gotcha.
Marta.
Uh huh. Yeah. That's okay. Women are very tricky.
It was a great time. I mean, the listeners. Power boaters and sailboaters alike, if you can do any type of charter experience in the islands, do it and go in with a clean slate on expectations. Just know that you're going to have a good time. Whatever you do, you will thank me later, and we'll talk about it when I'm selling you a boat.
I love it. Honestly, the islands are phenomenal and I love them very much. And there's a reason I've been back many times. And the reason I go as a vacation.
Yeah, on your own.
Like, I'm not even getting paid and I show up. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I would pay to go, which is weird. I never pay to go anywhere.
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it was money well spent. Holy cow. Yeah.
But I said we were going to listen to some voicemails.
Mm. I think we need to fill up our new segment.
This is the new segment. This is the part where I put out a phone number into the world.
Oh, the Ethernet.
The internet has responded.
Hello, internet.
We're going to do these voicemails. And I think you're going to like them. Are you ready? Are you emotionally prepared?
I doubt I'm emotionally ready, but...
All right. Let's do this.
Hello. I was wondering when you're going to have Wayne the Boat Guy on again. He's really funny and clever and He's like the best guest. Hmm.
Clearly.
Oh, gosh.
If I were blindfolded and I had to guess who left that voicemail.
Listen, Wayne, darling. Wayne, you're on anytime you want, man. You're on anytime. I took Wayne to, I actually made Wayne be my deckhand.
Ooh.
On a return from the Bay Bridge Boat Show. And he was having like a real emotional time about it because it's such a big boat and it's such an expensive boat.
Maybe I didn't get this for free.
So when I told him there were three helm stations, he about fell over.
Yeah, I can see the mind blowing emoji popping up right now. What?
It was adorable. He made a great video about it. His walkthrough is honestly just as good as any of these professional walkthroughs, including myself. I'm nothing compares, though.
Okay, there we go.
To the broker with the beard.
There we go. That's what I'll do.
Professional eye when it comes to a walkthrough on a boat. Good Lord.
Very nice, Wayne. Well done, sir.
But you know what? I'm sad because I did have this beautiful footage of him sitting on the bow of the boat. And he's filming some stuff and then he stops filming and I'm still filming him through the windshield and he doesn't know that I'm filming him.
Yeah, that's
and
how you
do. And you can see him just kind of like inhale and exhale and
like, this is real.
Realize how awesome,
man, and
boats are.
An attitude of gratitude will take you to a lot of places.
Oh, this is fabulous.
Oh, that was a good one, Wayne. Thanks for calling in. I'll be the nice guy.
It wasn't Wayne. It was somebody else.
Oh, yeah. God damn. A great Wayne impersonator.
All right. You ready for this next one?
I doubt it.
All right. Here we go.
Hi. Me and all my friends really love Wayne the Boat Guy.
Who do you think it is? Who do you think his friends are?
I don't know.
I'm going to play.
Oh, my.
Have him on and Ed should buy him like a really nice boat that he can have. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. <we're> gonna... Can I retract any statements I made earlier? I think I should.
Oh, gosh, I wonder who that was.
I don't know.
Must be a big fan of Wayne.
Man, I wish I knew. How can I ever thank him properly?
By the way, if you want to call in to the Funny Boat Podcast, yeah, we'll play it. We don't care. The phone number is somewhere.
Just so you know, this is probably what's going to happen.
This is what's going to happen. We're going to.
If you want to be coddled, maybe don't call in.
Okay, that number is 386-243-0776. I really hope that's the number. I think that's what Wayne called.
If it's not, this is going to be an amazing segment.
If you want to call in, if you want to promote your stuff, go ahead. You can do that. We'll play
it. We'll blank
it
out. We'll beep it out.
I'll play it. I love it. Promote yourself, friends. We've got like we actually get like 1,000 downloads. Did you know that?
Isn't that crazy?
Does it
show you where most of the downloads go to? Or
like go? What do you mean go to?
Like who downloaded? It's not 1,000 individual accounts.
Oh, is it just me over and over again? Is that what you're saying?
I may have played one or two. We got three subscribers, Wayne.
Clearly.
Wait a minute, four? I'm adding it up. We might have like 10 real non-bot subscribers.
I think we've got
10.
We've got at least 10.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got 10. Alan. I don't know how many you have. Alan, yeah, why hasn't Alan called?
Alan, Beth.
I'm a little disappointed.
Did Beth call in?
I don't think I've heard from Beth.
Beth, what the heck, Beth? Come on.
And John. And Eric. And
oh, I don't know these
Amanda.
People.
No, I'm just saying names because I
is Romper Room and Georgie and Billy.
I'm just hoping that whoever's listening thinks I'm talking to them. And then
Joe
they
Jeff.
Feel
Those
obligated.
Are my two favorites. Joe and Jeff.
There you
Joe
go.
Joe Mama, Jeff Father.
Oh my God. I really am astonished that we managed to do this at all ever. But I'm also proud of us. So,
yeah, well, there you go.
I know.
Do we have more?
No, this has been.
Oh, that was okay.
That's all I'm going to play for right
now.
Oh,
all right. That we're, the
this,
rest is
This
on
was
hold.
The introduction to us doing voicemails.
Oh, voicemails. Come on, people.
Okay, yeah, leave us voicemails, folks. We love it.
Yeah, I'm we really, really do.
I'll take boat advice as well if you need advice.
I will not. Don't tell me
well,
how to
you
sell
can't
a boat.
Trust his. You can't trust anything this man says.
Yeah.
But you,
you really
can trust me. Mm. I swear.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm. This has been the Funny Boat Podcast.
Bon voyage.
I hope you have a fabulous time in Fiji.
Oh, I hope so too. I hope. Yeah. I'm waiting for the tap. I really want to get the tappity tap. And by that, I mean tattoo.
Creepy.